Anyone who's been around children, whether that's in a family or in a classroom or at a picnic or some kind of family reunion, or maybe even at the fun fest that they had yesterday outside here. If you've been around those children, and one of the older ones especially gets to do something that the younger ones can't do, whether it's staying up an extra half hour or being able to watch a particular TV program or go outside and do something, what's the chorus that you hear from all those children? It's not fair. And while I'd really like to ask the adults here what their answer to that is, that might be kind of dangerous at the moment. But I think the general generic reply would be, sometimes life isn't fair. And it's not just children who say that, because all of us go through some of the same things in our life. We may want a promotion at work and it goes to somebody else, and we think it's not fair. We may not get the raise that we expected, and we don't think that that's fair either. You might be driving on the road and get a speeding ticket instead of the guy that passed you going 10 miles an hour faster. And you think, that's not fair either. And I know for a lot of older people who struggle at times, is it fair that they have to struggle so and sometimes even make a choice between buying medicine and having food to eat? So life can at times be unfair to our human sensibilities and our human judgment. But there's a lot to speak about in this gospel today, and I want to focus on just a couple of things. The first is one not a whole lot of people think about or consider about this message, but Jesus speaks to us in terms of social justice, even though he doesn't really use those words, and it wasn't a term at that time. What Jesus paid those, or what the landowner paid those workers in his vineyard, was probably about what we call a denarius today. And it was generally considered a reasonable wage, enough to buy enough food and necessities for one day. So in that time, it was a very fair wage. The fact that the landowner was generous is really quite amazing. The question of how do we help each other and how do we take care of each other is as old as the Bible. If you go back to the book of Genesis, after Cain killed his brother Abel, God asked Cain, "Where is Abel?" And Cain answered, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the short answer to that question is, to an extent, yes, we are. We're all part of the body of Christ. We're all part of the human family. And if one of us suffers, we all suffer. So the fact that this landowner was generous and paid each of the workers, whether they started early in the morning or late in the day, a living wage is really remarkable. But it does fly a little bit in the sense of our modern sensibilities. But that idea of taking care of each other, helping each other, being generous, being kind, can manifest itself in a lot of ways. It's what we're all called to do. Now, some of us may be able to do it financially. Others may help by taking people to a store or helping their parents or a friend do something that they need. And sometimes even something as simple as sitting with somebody who's lonely or perhaps ill. Those are all ways that we can help take care of each other and things that we're all called to do. So this idea of social justice is nothing new. We hear about it all the time in the news these days. It's nothing new. It was an issue when Jesus was on the earth. It was an issue before that. And it will be an issue for a very long time to come. But what we have to do is our part to make things better for all of us. The other way I want to stop and take a quick look at this gospel is by first to remember what Isaiah said in the first reading. Your ways are not my ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts, says the Lord. Even Peter, this reading today is from chapter 20 of Matthew's gospel. If you go back into chapter 19 and read the parts that come just before this, there was the parable of the rich young man who didn't quite know what to do. But then Peter said, Lord, we have been here from the beginning. What is there for us? He thought, too, that because they had been there longer than some others that were coming into the faith, that maybe there was something extra for them. But you see, here's the remarkable part. The same mercy that God extends to someone who's been a cradle Catholic or faithful all their life, that exact same mercy is available to everyone, even if they come to know Jesus at a very late point in their life. Mercy is for everyone. God's love is for everyone. And it even says in Scripture that Jesus said that it was the will of the Father that he not lose any of those that were given to him. And so, while it might not look fair to our modern sensibilities, it's remarkably generous and remarkably merciful of the Lord that everyone can be included in that mercy. You can even see that reflected a little bit in our sacraments, because early in church history, the sacrament of reconciliation and anointing of the sick, those were looked at a little bit differently than they are now. You were only allowed to have one confession in those early days and only one anointing of the sick. But our understanding of God's mercy has changed. The sacraments themselves have not changed. They still confer the grace and the strength that they always have. But our understanding of God's mercy and how we can use those sacraments for our benefit has evolved, so that now we can go to reconciliation whenever we need to, whenever we feel a heavy burden on our shoulders or something that we need to talk to the Lord about. We can go to confession or reconciliation and be absolved of that sin and have that weight lifted off our shoulders. Anointing of the sick, in a certain perspective, is very similar. It used to be one to a customer, so to speak. A lot of times it would be called last rites, and you would only receive that sacrament when you were in very near proximity to death. But our understanding of that now is that if you are seriously ill, you can be anointed. And if you recover and become seriously ill again with the same or a different disease, you can be anointed as many times as necessary. And it all demonstrates to us that God's mercy is inexhaustible. The idea of fairness in terms of God's mercy really doesn't apply to that, because that's not the way God works. God wishes that we all come to him. He wants us all to have a relationship and to be as close to him as the person sitting next to you in your chair. That is really the greatest gift that we can give the Lord, is to be close to him and to try and live our life in accord with our precepts. So while it's true that we may not have a God who's fair in the human sense, he is fair and he is just and merciful. And I think being just and merciful is so much better than being fair in this world. And so what are we to do with all of this? Well, I think we have to take the words of St. Paul to heart. And we have to conduct ourselves in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ.